जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा, নিতাই গৌর হরি বোল হরি বোল হরি বোল গৌর হরি বোল হরি বোল শ্রী পাজক ক্ষেত্র ধাম কি শ্রী কুঞ্জারগিরি যুগমায়া দেবী কি শ্রীমান মধ্বাচার্য মহারাজ কি শ্রী মধ্বাচার্য জন্মভূমি পাজক ক্ষেত্র ভূমি কি নিতাই গৌর প্রেমানন্দে ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে So on this Saturday, 21st of June 2014, we welcome all of you to Pajaka Kshetra, the very birthplace of Sriman Madhvacharya, the son of Vayudev. So this is a place where Shivalli Brahmanas, Narayan Bhatta and his wife lived. Before that, they were living in a place called Kadpadi, which is a little far from here, where we took left turn from the main road. If you go on right side, there is a village called Kadpadi. And Brahmavar, Udyavar, all these villages are that side. So there is a village called Shivalli at that side. And when Mayur Varma had brought many, many Brahmin families from Aichhatra, Bihar, they had been settled by the king in many villages in and around Udupi. So one of the villages was Shivalli. And the uniqueness of these Brahmanas, they were Vaishnavas, they were great devotees of Lord Vishnu. But at the same time, they were also worshippers of Lord Shiva. So they were called as Shivalli Brahmanas. And the lineage of Brahmanas of Shivalli, one of them was Madhyageha. So one of the family members of Madhyageha lineage was Narayana Bhatta, the father of Madhvacharya. He had two sons and one daughter. And somehow his two sons died due to some reason. With that, he moved from Shivalli to Pajaka with one remaining daughter, which was quite elderly, little bit older. And from here, he desired to have a son. And from this place, this very place, when he was residing over here, he walked every day from here to Udupi. We came by car, but he used to walk every day with his wife, drinking only milk all the day for 12 years. It's a great austerity. When we have our fasting on Ekadashi, we eat Kutuka Laddu, and we eat Sabudana Khichdi, and we eat so many items. Drink milk, various drinks also we have, fruits we have. And still it becomes very difficult for us. We are waiting for the fast break time next day. That is our position. And then comes once in a year the day for Nirjala Ekadashi. And that is scaring us for a long time. When the date is approaching, we are very, very scared and worrying how do we observe that fast. And every now and then we are thinking of water, and every now and then we are thinking of milk and some prasad. And every now and then we are meditating on the parana timings of the next day. And timing of parana is generally 2-3 hours, you know. But we want to break the fast before the first minute ends. Before the 60th second ends, we want to drink as many liters of water as possible. And no one waits till 10:30. By 10:30 you already eaten khichdi also and you have taken full meal also. So that is our state. So why I am describing all these things, that how much nigraha or determination must have been there in the person of Narayan Bhatta and Vedavati, to have the determination to only drink milk, not for a day, not for 2 days, not for 1 week, 1 month, 12 months, into 12 months, 144 months, 12 years. Similarly, if you go back in the history of Krishna, Devaki and Vasudev in their past life, and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in their past life, have done similar vrata for 1200 years, drinking only water and eating only dried leaves falling from the tree, desiring for the Supreme Lord to appear as sun. So Devaki was reminded by Krishna that don't worry, you are my mother not now. When you were Prishni and Sutapa, I came as Prishni Garbha. When you were Kashyapa and Aditi, I came as Vamana. And now again I have come as Vishnu, when you are Vasudeva and Devaki. And similarly, Dhara and Drona had performed Vrata for 1200 years in the similar way, to be with Krishna and serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his childhood. So although he was born to Devaki, he left from there because they desired to have Krishna as their son. And somebody desired to have Krishna as their son and to also be and serve when he was a child. So he fulfilled her desire, Devaki's desire, to have him as son. But he went to Gokul and then Nandagaon to fulfill their desire to be with him and serve him as a child. So we have to be very specific when we pray. We cannot pray in general way. We have to be specific. Because if someone else prays exactly in details more than you, then he gets a better result than you. So Krishna consciousness is simply a science of learning to desire rightly. What to and how to desire. That is science of Krishna consciousness. Everybody has a propensity of desiring, right? Everyone. One may be a devotee, one may not be a devotee, one may be anything. Even an animal, even a bird, even a snake. Everybody has a desire. So what is the difference between us and the other species or other people? That we learn under the guidance of Guru to desire for Krishna. And we learn to say no to all those desires which are not for Krishna. We also do have desires which are separate from Krishna and separate from His pleasure. Many desires come in the mind. I want to do this, I want to do that. But we don't fulfill all the desires which mind has prompted you to fulfill. We don't fulfill all those desires. Whatever we feel appropriate as per Guru and Shastra and Sadhus, we go ahead to fulfill those desires. There may be a desire to go around and see nice places. So we can go to holy place and also desire to see beautiful places and beautiful atmosphere and greenery and scenery can be fulfilled. So one has right to enjoy, but that enjoyment should be in connection with the Lord. When you enjoy in connection with the Lord, then you get freed from the bondage of birth and death. And when you enjoy with a desire separate from the Lord, then you get bound in the cycle of birth and death. And you may believe this or may not believe this. This is the sure shot law of nature. That's why in Krishna consciousness, in the company of devotees, we learn to desire which is favorable to the Lord. Learn to desire to serve the Lord. Learn to desire to be with the Lord in service and devotion. So here, why they were doing, they were not trying to be yogis, to control their senses, to become siddhas, to become mystic, to develop lot of superhuman powers, to bewilder people, to mesmerize people, to make money and become famous. They were not having any of these desires. Many of the people performed tapasya, like Hiranyakashipu performed tapasya for what reason? To become immortal. to become controller of all the demigods, to rule over them, to destroy everybody who is devotee of the Lord, to control and to become so powerful that everybody will chant his name instead of God's name. So tapasya again is not good or bad. And tapasya is done to become enemy of the Lord. It's like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, all of them did tapasya, much more than any devotee can do. But the basic aim was to be enemy of the Lord and to win over the Lord, to kill the Lord. And Prahlad did tapasya also, Dhruva did tapasya also, many great devotees did tapasya also. But the idea of tapasya was to please the Lord. It is not to self-aggrandize oneself, it is not to glorify oneself. See, I drank only milk on Ekadashi day. I do every Ekadashi Nirjala. You all are eating everything. I don't eat anything. But such kind of thinking increases the pride in the devotees. When you think, I am so great. See, I chant 50 rounds every day. See, I do such single, powerful vrata on Ekadashi. I walk barefoot in the holy place. Whether heat or cold, I don't take any cloth on my body. I do meditation in between the fire. All this only makes your heart very hard, full of pride. But all the tapasya should make your heart soft and humble, ready for surrender to the feet of the Lord. Every activity that you do, if it is meant for pleasure of the Lord, then your heart will become very soft, very humble, very loving and affectionate to everybody around you. So similarly, they walked from here barefoot, drinking only milk, not desiring any other food, which is very palatable and tasty, because they wanted to have a divine son. They just didn't have a desire to have son for themselves, you know. They had a desire to serve the Lord, because they were themselves the great devotees of the Lord. Even the act of union in grihastha life is meant to please the Lord by procreating children which are trained to become Vaishnavas. Then your grihastha is perfect. Grihastha ashram is perfect, perfectly fulfilled. The purpose is to create children who become devotee of the Lord, who will get freed from cycle of birth and death. That is the purpose of marriage, purpose of union, purpose of creating children. Through your womb and through your union, a soul will be delivered from cycle of birth and death through the beautiful gift of human life. So they were planning like that. And soon enough, Vayudev appeared in the womb of Vedavati. And thus Vasudev was born. So we described a few stories about Vasudeva. And today we will describe further more stories of Vasudeva, sitting in the very place of Vasudeva's home, which is very, very auspicious to describe these beautiful stories of Vasudeva at the home of Vasudeva. So we described that day till the ceremony of Annaprachana. Just to recap the story, Vasudeva was a small baby. Every 15-20 minutes he required milk, and he would keep crying all the time out of hunger. 3 months passed, mother went out, sister was taking care of the baby, and baby started howling and crying. The small baby did not know what to do. She was not trained enough to take care of the child who was crying. So she went up and down, looking for the mother, going inside. The baby was crying and crying. Finally, the 3-month-old baby broke the gunny sack of grains, 40 kilos, one man, 40 kilos. Himself, he broke the gunny sack, entered the gunny sack and ate all the 40 kilos of grains. And that was supposed to be Annaprashana ceremony of the great Vasudeva. So, then in this place, as there is a cow, beautiful cow standing there, it's our culture to have cows. Now it is all, we are living in flats and skyscrapers and, you know, 25 floors and 50 floors and 100 floors. So many floors and so much of space. But no space for cows. My daughter was always hankering, when she was a small child, to have a cow. And I would tell her, where do I keep the cow? So she said, where we keep the car, we can keep the cow there. So I said, society will object, you know, and then the cow will pass dung and urine and it will attract flies and society will complain against us. So you know, I had a tough time. In fact, I was a very bad father in that sense. The child is desiring cow, you know. The child is not desiring to have a helicopter or an aeroplane or something like that. Child is saying, I want a cow. Such an auspicious desire. To have a cow, to serve a cow, to drink cow milk, to churn the butter, yogurt into butter and then make ghee. Use it for worshipping the Lord. Use it for yajna. Don't get distracted, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Don't worry. Things happen in the holy place. A snake may come, a scorpion may come. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I was talking about the cows. It's our culture to keep cows, to take care of cows, to serve cows till the time she gives milk and till after that, till she leaves her body. In grateful heart, we should take care of cows. And cow is the only animal who gives milk with gold in that. Cow has a mechanism in her body that she is the same grass as the bakri eats, as the goat eats, as the sheep eats, as the buffalo eats, and as everybody eats. When she gives milk, there is gold salt in that. And because of that, it has got yellowish tinge. And because of that, when the milk is heated, it has got yellow cream. And because of that, when you make the butter and clarify the butter, it becomes golden yellow. It's a very beautiful fragrance. That is this cow, desi cow. And she feeds her calf and she also gives milk to all human beings. So she creates extra milk, much more than her calf is requiring. And that is why she is our mother. And today the world is suffering only because of one reason. That we are only taking the milk and torture the cow for the milk. And still, after the cow stops giving milk, we kill her and eat her flesh. And use her everything for our own sense gratification. So all the feelings of gratitude, service, compassion is destroyed. That is why the man is becoming more and more restless, more and more anxious, more and more tense and stressful, suffers many diseases because of that. But in olden life, you know, old times, people would just take care of cow. And cow would take away all our attention. I told you yesterday also. Just be with the cow. You lose all your anxieties. Even in pregnancy, childhood, and old age. Whenever you feel stressful, just be with the cow. Just move your hand on the cow. Be kind to her. And she'll take away all your pressures. Somebody has tuberculosis. Just spend time in cow shed. Your healing will be very faster. This is all proven facts in Ayurveda. So Vasudev also had cow shed in his house and many, many cows were there. And Vasudev's usual pastime was he would hold the tail of bull and the bull will get disturbed and bull will start running and he would keep on hanging on the tail of the bull and bull will go around all the kaushala. Then he will hold the tail of a small bull, then sometimes hold tail of small cow, big cow, different times. And he was seen always hanging and having a nice ride in the Goshala. Similarly, Krishna and Balram also would do the same thing. When they were small babies, you know, they would be decorated with Chandan, Aguru and various scented items by Mother Yashoda and Rohini with nice bells in their neck, nice ornaments, and they would be sent to Goshala. And Goshala would be always having a beautiful skating mixture of cow dung and cow urine. Huh? So they would go inside and they would hold the tails of two small calves. And as soon as they would hold, the calf will not know what's happening. So it will get disturbed. And it will start running here and there in fear. And that will make these two children holding the tails fall on their belly. Because they were toddlers, they were not very expert in walking that time. So the moment the baby calves will move ahead, it will not make the boys run because they were not able to run, not able to walk also properly. So they would fall on the belly, and then they'll not leave the tail. Then what will happen? What is the scene? The calf is running, the tail is being held by the Krishna or Balram, and they are on their bellies, and they will skate on the abdomen throughout the Goshala. And that would be seen by Rohini, and then she would call, Yashoda Didi, please come, look at Krishna Balaram. They are so beautifully getting soaked in the mixture of cow dung and cow urine. Their Chandan Aguru and beautiful decorations are getting mixed with cow dung and cow urine. And they are looking so beautiful. Their face and nose is decorated with cow dung and cow urine. And then Yashoda would come running and see. And their eyes would fill with tears, with love and affection. So, iti druksalvi labhir ananda kunde swagosham nimajantam akhyapayantam. Like that, Krishna and Balaram drowned the residents of Gokul in pools of ecstasy by performing such beautiful pastimes. So when we remember the pastime of Vasudeva holding the tails of bulls and running around, we also remember Krishna Balaram's pastime. Then he grew little more age, maybe about 2 years of age. And you know, he was very famous for his hunger. Always he would keep asking food. So one day he asked similarly food from his father. But father looked very tense that day. And he, very tensed face, he said, No, I cannot give you food. There is no money. So he was like wondering what happened. So he asked, what happened, father? Father said, I had taken loan to buy bulls. And the person whom I had taken loan from, he has come at the door. And he is saying, today I will not leave the border of your house. That is called at Delhi's, you know. What is that called in English? Threshold. I am going to sit on a threshold and not leave till you pay me back. And in the olden days, if the debtor, you know, one who lends money to you, if he comes and sits on your threshold, it's like very inauspicious. It's considered that if he comes and sits there, you have to immediately pay back. Otherwise, a lot of inauspiciousness will be spreading in your house. So, small Vasudev went to that person. His name was Kakra Shetty. K-A-K-R-A. Kakra Shetty. He was Kakra Shetty, and he went to Kakra Shetty and asked, why are you appearing so tense? He said, your father has taken loan from me to buy bulls and he has not returned the money. And today I will not go till I get the money. So he said, please come, I will give money to you. So he brought him over here under this tree. He climbed this tree, and this is a Imli tree. Imli tree has got Shenga. Shenga means what? English language doesn't have all words for everything in... it's not. Sir, what is it called? Imli ka Shenga. It has got seeds in that. No. It's a pod, you can say. Like iPod, yeah? We have iPod. Yeah, we have Imli pod. It's also iPod only. I-M-L-I pod. So, it has got a material which is sour in nature. And there are seeds. So, he took out seeds from the tree and filled his both hands, both palms, came down and gave those to Kakra Shetty. And he told him that, you please go home. This is your payment. So he was quite bewildered, you know. But he was mesmerized also at the same time. He just got so influenced and influenced by the words of this small boy that he went home. He had decided not to go home. And he would not go home receiving some Imli seeds in his hand, you know. But still he went. When he went home, he opened his fists and he saw gold coins in his arms. His hands were filled with gold coins, which were much more than what loan he had given to Kakra Shetty. And he was tremendously amazed and happy and pleased to receive gold coins, much more in quantity. Next day he came again, in some other name, to take some other loan, you know. So it is explained that this time, next time when he came, next day, Vasudev gave him Prema Bhakti to the Lord as his gift. And he was blessed by Vasudev. He became an ardent devotee of Krishna. This is same tamarind tree. You can see these small leaves. There are two trees here. One is, I think, jackfruit tree. The small leaves which you see here, in the night they collapse. The small tree leaves are tamarind trees. And this is jackfruit over here. So jackfruit and this tree are mixed. So this is the same jackfruit tree where Vasudev turned the seeds into gold coins. Then, at the age of 3, the family function was there in Nediyur, a close by village. At the age of 3, and Vasudev went with their father. Vasudev had no interest in the marriage ceremony in Nediyur. So father and mother were in the marriage. They were enjoying the company of other relatives and the function. And the 3-year-old child sneaked away from that place. He had no interest. So he just went all the way walking alone himself to Chandramoleshwar temple. He spent some time there. Then he went to Ananteshwara temple. Then he went to other temples. But long time he was found in Ananteshwara temple. After some time, Vasudeva's father and mother came to know that Vasudeva is not there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The point is that when difficulty comes, do you remember Krishna or not? That is very important. We may be saying Hare Krishna all the day, but when difficulty comes, you forget Krishna. You have to practice to remember Krishna in happiness and sorrow. Then Krishna will come with you when you need him. So Vasudeva went alone, and little later parents realized that Vasudeva is not there. So they started searching everywhere. And they searched and searched and searched. And finally they came searching to Ananteshwara. And he was fine, sitting very peacefully, as if he was talking to Ananteshwara. So mother and father asked him, How do you come here? Who led you over here? He said, Sri Hari led me half the way. Then Sri Vishnu led me the next half. It's mentioned here. Hari escorted me to Udupi. Narayan escorted me to this village. And then Hari escorted me to Udupi. This is what he said. Then Narayan Bhatta, Madhyageha Brahmana was very much tensed, you know, because such is the way of this boy, he will get lost. Who knows? So he prayed to Ananteshwara to protect Vasudev, to take care of him. And then when he was leaving here, it was very often, he would go to Kunjaragiri. By the way, Kunjaragiri also is known as Vimanagiri. Another name, Vimanagiri. He would go and talk to Yogamaya Devi there regularly. Then you saw a family sitting there, 2 daughters and 1 son in the lap of father, and the Purohit is teaching them to write something in the rice. That is called as Hate Khadi Samskara, or called as Vidyarambha Samskara, or Akshara Abhyasa Samskara. You can call it anything. When the child becomes of appropriate age, maybe 3 to 4 years of age, he is taught to write letters. And what he was teaching now was, he was writing Kannada language, Shri something. And when Vasudev became about 3 to 4 years old, his Vidyarambha Sanskar was done on that stone under the bottom of Tulsi Devi. And his father Madhyageha, Narayan Bhatta, taught him to write the names of the Lord. And it is explained that Mother Saraswati was standing personally when Vasudeva was undergoing Hate Khadi Sanskar. As subservient personality, not as teacher. Being a son of Vayudev, Saraswati was subservient to Vasudeva. And by her mercy, Vasudev learnt everything so fast, you know. It is explained that all the words that is required to be learnt, he learnt very fast. And then very soon started learning scriptures. And as a small boy, he many times corrected many Bhagavatacharyas who were giving pravachans. Suddenly the small boy would stand up and say, "Excuse me, sir, you are making a mistake here." So they would say, "Small boy," then he would explain the mistake. And then he would tell the correct thing also. One time Madhyagriha Brahman, he himself, father was giving a class. And he stood up and corrected father also. Later on, the general age of undergoing Upanayana, the Brahman Diksha, Janiv, Grahan Sanskar, is 8 years, you know, in our caste. I am from Gauda Saraswat Brahmin caste. And general age is 8 years. But he was given Upanayana at 5 years of age. Because he is so intelligent, so sharp, so much ahead of time. So, he effortlessly learnt. We have seen the people doing many rituals there. Some of them, one of them was doing Shraddha ceremony. You can see this. They were making Pindadana. Other place they were doing fire sacrifice when we entered the left side, right? So that is called Agnihotra. And to learn Agnihotra, you have to learn many Kriyas, many Mudras, many Nyasas and many other formations of the fingers, you know, called Mudras. It is said that within no time he learned all the Agnihotras, Mudras, Nyasas and Homas and Kriyas. It is said that he shaved his head as Vaman Bhattu. You know, Bhattu Sanskara is also called as Bhattu Sanskara. Bhattu Mangalam. So he shaved his head and he was looking very effulgent and beautiful. And demigods showered flowers from sky when he underwent Upanayan Sanskar. When he was born, at that time also, the demigods showered flowers from the sky. Two occasions. And they played drums and they danced in the sky. So it is said that local people also saw demigods dancing in the sky. Immediately on the day of Upanayan Sanskara, I mean, he's a boy, you know, ultimately. Okay, some hours the ceremony was going on, so he was very seriously sitting over there. Then he went to play, he went to school. And what happened, when he was coming back from school, a big snake appeared there. His name was Manimana. And this Manimana was a demon who had fought with Bhima in the last life. And Bhima had killed him, and he was still angry with Bhima. So he came to take revenge. And he appeared in front of Madhvacharya. All the school children who were accompanying him ran away out of fear. And Vasudeva stayed there. And they had a very good fight. And then finally, such a huge, ferocious, multi-hooded snake was crushed by the thumb of Vasudeva. And he crushed his heads in the stone and embedded him in the stone. So that place is just above, just below the Vimanagiri, Kunjargiri mountain. I didn't tell you that because you would not understand anything if I show something to you. So now when we go back, I will halt the car for a while and show you that place where Manimana was killed by Vasudeva. So Vasudeva Maharaj ki, Manimana Mardana Vasudeva ki, Jai Ho. So this snake had reincarnated as a snake with 5 hoods and he had attacked Vasudeva, but he crushed him with his toe in the stone. So on that day, you know, all mothers are always waiting for children to come home on time. And they're always waiting. Okay, time is up. Why is not coming? So everybody came home and Vasudeva didn't come. So mother Vedavati started calling, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, where are you? Where are you? Why you have not come? Vasudeva was busy killing the demon. As soon as he killed the demon, he heard. When he was killing the demon, he didn't hear because he was busy killing the demon. But he got freed from his job. He heard, mommy is calling, and looked like she is calling for a long time. The way she is calling, it appeared that she has called many times before, which I have not heard. And now she is calling most eagerly, most intensely, most helplessly. So if I start walking from here, it will take some more time. She will become more anxious. So Vasudeva jumped from that place straight in his house. So there is one stone inside where his footprints are there, where he jumped from Manimana killing place straight to his house, just to alleviate the further anxiety going to be caused to his mother. Then you see those men standing there, and there's a cemented roof. There's one Mangalore tile roof and there is cemented roof. In the cemented roof you go inside, there are 2 big pots. And they are covered with 2 big shilas. Vasudev had become almost more than 5 years now. He had already killed Manimana, going to school every day. So one day mother had to go out, and she had, you know, in the olden days, like Mother Yashoda also, she had many, many huge pots underground. Even many men could go and stand inside, and it will be bigger than that, more deep than that also. And she would store butter and milk for Krishna in those big, big pots. So like that, in olden days, they used to have huge stony pots. So she had stored butter and yogurt into huge pots. And she was going out. So she told Vasudeva, I am going out. You please stand here and guard this, so that no rat or no cat can go and eat that butter and yogurt. Now Vasudeva was standing till mother was there. When mother went, he was restless. He wanted to play. So what he did, he lifted huge stone, Shila, and covered those pots. And he went to play. So when he came back, mother came back. Mother saw such huge stone rocks. Who has put those? So inquiring, who has put this? Where is Vasudeva? I told him to stand here. Who has put this stony Shilas? Who can lift this when men cannot lift together? After a few hours, Vasudeva came after playing and he said, I lifted these stones and put this on this as a cover. So it is still there. Nobody could ever lift it back again. I don't know what must have happened to the yogurt and butter inside, but the cover is still there. Two underground pots are covered with two used Shilas. Then, it was a very usual pastime, usual unusual pastime, regularly performed but unusual pastime was that. Hare Krishna. So he would every day, every half an hour come home to eat. The school recess would be on some other time. But he would come running, eat something and go back. So teacher was like quite frustrated, you know, what kind of student is this? Every half an hour he runs home and comes back. He says, please, time please, time please. And he would go home and come back, fill his belly and come back. Again half an hour he'll go back. So teacher said that you are missing a lot of teachings, you know. I am teaching something also in between when you go home and come back. So he said, what you taught? So teacher would say, I taught this, and he would repeat everything flawlessly. So that is called as Jata, Pada, Krama, Tala and Sur. With all these things he would recite the shlokas. Something called as Chanda also. Chanda means there is a particular rhythm in which you recite some shlokas. You know, Purush Sukta, Stri Sukta, you recite in a particular one. You go up and go down and move your hands also up and down. So with Jata, Pada, Krama, Tala and Sura, he chanted all the mantras which the teacher had taught in his absence. So teacher asked him, how do you know all these things? You have not heard. I have told all these things in your absence. How do you know all these things? So he said, in my past lives I have learned all these things. And the teacher couldn't understand the meaning of the statement. But we understand, because we know who was he. So because of this extraordinary learning, he was named as Anant Tirtha. He was given a title by teacher. You are Anant Tirtha, who is most learned of all the students. Then one day the teacher's son had a severe headache and no medicines would work on the teacher's son. So then finally Vasudev was there. He came to the teacher's son and he blew air in the ear of the son. And his headache went away. And his headache went away, that's not the only thing happened. Huh, sir, ENT. ENT activity. He blew air in the ear of that teacher's son. And when headache went away, the son of the teacher saw all his previous births by the blow of the air. Then Aitareya Upanishad, I told you, he liked it very much, of all the Upanishads. Aitareya Upanishad. One of the 108 Upanishads, that's all I know. Because I have not studied any Upanishad except Isha Upanishad. So, because of his liking of that Upanishad, he learnt it in few hours and by-hearted all the shlokas. And wherever he went, he always spoke about this Upanishad, always gave commentaries on this Upanishad and preached this Upanishad. Then he was having a teacher whose name was టోటంటిలయ్య ఆచార్య, టోటంటిలయ్య ఆచార్య. వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ప్రొనౌన్స్ సార్. టోటంటిలయ్య ఆచార్య. సో వెన్ హిస్ స్కూలింగ్ వాజ్ ఓవర్ దే వాస్ టైమ్ టు గివ్ గురు దక్షిణ. సో వాట్ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ గివన్ హీ మస్ట్ వాట్ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ హీ గివన్ టు హిస్ గురు మహారాజ్? నాట్ టామరిండ్ సీడ్స్ బై ద వే. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ దాట్ హీ గేవ్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ ప్రేమ భక్తి టు హిస్ గురుదేవ్ యాజ్ హిస్ గురు దక్షిణ బికాస్ హిస్ లర్నింగ్ వాజ్ ఎ పాస్ టైమ్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్ ఓన్లీ అ నిమిత్త. ద గురు వాజ్ సర్వింగ్ హిమ్ ఇన్ హిస్ పాస్ టైమ్ బై బికమింగ్ అ టీచర్ అండ్ బై అపేరింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ టాట్ హిమ్ సంథింగ్, బట్ హీ ఆల్రెడీ వాజ్ బోర్న్ విత్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. నా ఆఫ్టర్ గ్రాడ్యుయేషన్ ఆఫ్ గురుకుల హీ థాట్ ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ సన్యాస్ బికాస్ హీ ఆల్వేస్ హ్యాడ్ రిమెంబర్డ్ ద మిషన్ ఫర్ విచ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ కమ్ ఫర్. దట్ వాజ్ ద ఇన్నర్ ఇన్స్పిరేషన్ దట్ హీ హ్యాడ్. వాయుదేవ హ్యాడ్ బీన్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్డ్ బై ది గేజ్ ఆఫ్ విష్ణు. ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్ ఐ టోల్డ్ యూ విష్ణు ఇన్వెస్టెడ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ అండ్ పొటెన్సీ అండ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ పవర్ ఇన్ వాయుదేవ్ and then instructed him that you come down in the material world, take birth and destroy the impersonalism, establish personality of Godhead. So that investment of energy and knowledge and inspiration was there in Madhva, there in Vasudeva. So as soon as he finished his education, he was inspired to take sannyas and dedicate his life for this mission. So at that time there was one great devotee called Achyuta Preksha residing in this area. And who was he in the past life? Yes, anybody remembers? He was a bumblebee in the courtyard of Rukmini Devi's mahal and Dwarka. And Rukmini would feed the bumblebee with her own hands. So that bumblebee had become Achyuta Preksha. So his personality was very impressive and he decided to take sannyas diksha from Achyuta Preksha. Madhyageha came to know because at the very time in the village in the olden days when the boy comes from Gurukul home, immediately he is married. That's the time when he educates himself and he graduates and he comes home from Gurukula. Immediately a beautiful girl is chosen for him and the parents marry the son. So by the time the education was coming to end, Vasudeva's father was already looking for a girl. And when they came to know that Vasudeva is desiring to sannyas, they started pleading him, please don't do that, please don't do this. Of course they were not materially attached, but they said just to tempt him not to do so. Who will look after us? You are our only son. Who will look after us? They said, no, I have no interest in family life. I want to take sannyas and do my service to God. But then he said, who will look after us? A lot of argument, every day the argument will take place. So one day, Vasudeva said, okay, till you get another son, I will not take sannyas. So it's like a very, logical statement, And on this statement, Narayan Bhatta couldn't say anything else because now if you get another son, then why you need me? He will look after you. And by the power of Madhvacharya's desire, very soon Vedavati became pregnant. And very soon she gave birth to a male child. Then he said, father, now you have a male child. Now let me go. But father was father, mother was mother. They would not let him take permission. They would not give him permission. So one day, Vasudeva went in ocean and he provoked a crocodile. He was so powerful, of course. He was not fearful of crocodile. But he appeared to have been being swallowed by crocodile. He went in the mouth of crocodile and crocodile was serving him by keeping its mouth open. And he was showing as if he is being swallowed by the crocodile. So the parent said, oh God, please save my son, please save my son. And the son said, if you say that you allow me to take sannyas, the crocodile will leave me. And they said, yes, we allow you to take sannyas. And the crocodile left. And then he came out and said, no, we take back our words. No, we don't allow you to take sannyas. He said, you told right now, you can't take back your words. So the parents fell down at the feet of Vasudev and said, please don't take sannyas. Vasudev is so intelligent. He said, in our custom, parents never take the dust of the feet of their son. Parents never touch the son's feet except when he's sannyasi. So already you have taken the dust of my feet, you already fallen at my feet, so already you have accepted me as a sannyasi. So this way or that way, logically, finally, the father had to give permission. Then they went to Achyut Preksha and started preaching him, please don't give him sannyas. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, everybody heard that he is going to take sannyas from Kesava Bharati Maharaj in Katwa place, you know, Kantak Nagar. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not listening, they went to Kesava Bharati's house and they first requested him, please don't give him sannyas. He said, I am a servant, you know, I am not a master. He is the Lord himself. He is just taking service from me. So I am no one. I am just puppet in his hands. So then they again convinced him, no, please don't do this. Then again he argued with them. Then they threatened him, if you give him sannyas, we will uproot your house and throw in Ganga along with you. That shows the love of the devotees for the Lord. So similarly, father and mother went to Achyut Preksha also and tried to convince him, but somehow they were unable. And then finally he took sannyas from Achyut Preksha at the age of 12. And he was named Purna Pragya Tirtha. And later he became Madhvacharya. At sannyas, a very unusual event happened at the sannyas ceremony of Vasudeva, who became Purna Pragya Tirtha. The deities of the Lord entered in one common man and they told Achyut Preksha, Achyut Preksha, I am giving this great devotee of mine, Purna Pragya, to you because you have pure love for me. I am allowing this great devotee of mine to take sannyas from you. After that he went to Badrikashram. Two times he went to Badrikashram. One time he went to Badrikashram and he met his original guru Vyasadev. And Vyasadev initiated him into his disciplehood. Achyut Preksha was his sannyas guru only. Totantilaya was his only gurukul teacher. The real guru Maharaj, spiritual master, was Vyasadev. And first time when he went there, his followers and friends, they were asked to stay back at one point of time. Beyond that, no human being can cross the other side of Himalayas, where Badrikashram, actual ashram of Vyasadev, is there. So he went alone there and met his Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj gave him instruction that you please write commentary on Mahabharata. So on that instruction, Purna Pragya Tirtha Madhvacharya wrote a great scripture called as Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. And if you read that scripture, the people who have read that scripture, who have written about that book, they said that there are some incidences which are described in that book. Only the person who has witnessed those events, he can write those events. So as Bhim Sen, he had witnessed all the events personally. So his commentaries included those events also, which couldn't have been written by any other person except that person who was already physically present over there. And that also proved that he was eyewitness as Bhim Sen. Next time when he went to Badrikashram, Vyasadeva asked him to write commentary on Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra. So both these things he wrote on the order of Veda Vyasacharya. Then one time he had a desire to take bath in Ganga. So he took permission from his guru and he went. His guru became too much in separation. And he prayed to Ganga, Mother Ganga, please do something. My disciple is going away from me. I am too much in separation from my disciple. So Mother Ganga entered in one person and came to Achyut Preksha and told him, in 3 days I will appear in the same pond next to temple. And in 3 days the pond flooded with water. It's like unlimited number of waves, as if some big gush of water is entering. So he sent for Madhvacharya. Please come back, Mother Ganga has appeared over here as per the promise she has done. So Madhvacharya came back and took bath. So also that is why the kunda is called as Papanashini or Ganga Kunda or Madhvacharya. So it is claimed that the prayers that Achyut Prakasha did was to Ananteshwara. And Ananteshwara entered in the man and informed that in 3 days Ganga will appear here. Thus Anantirtha, it is called as Anantatirtha, Madhva Sarovar and Papanashini. Then of course Madhvacharya's life is a very elaborate life, you know. And there are unlimited stories how he was so fearless, so strong. It is said that when he was travelling one time, he travelled all over India to defeat all those famous impersonalist Mayavadi sannyasis. One of the famous people were Vadi Singha, Vadi Simha, and another was Buddhi Sagara. They were the main, you know, proponents of Mayavad. And it is explained that he defeated them. They were Jain Buddhivadis. Jainism is actually Shunyavadis. They don't believe in anything. Everything is a void. You have come from void. You will go in void. Everything is void. Voidism is Shunyavada. So there is a great description in Madhvacharya's life story, how he defeated those two great voidis, Shunyavadis. One time he was traveling. Somebody offered him and his disciples so many bananas. The bananas were 10 inch in diameter. Can you show me how much 10 inches? Even in diameter, not in length. The bananas were 10 inch in diameter. Like this. So he ate 200 of them only. At one shot. Yes. That was the kind of hunger he had, even as sannyasi also. Then you can see this kunda over here. His mother was getting old. You know. At one time when they were discussing about sannyas and arguing, he said, if you don't allow me to sannyas, I will go away from this place and you will never see me again. But if you allow me to take sannyas, then I visit you regularly. So there was another reason my parents agreed. Because he would stay close by in Achyuta Prakash's ashram and he would visit this place regularly. So one time he had come to this place and mother had become old. And mother said that Lord Parshuram has made 4 kundas in these mountains here. And Satsuru Prabhu will stand up now. And mother said that I am very old, I cannot go to the mountains and take bath. And I have heard that Parshuram has blessed those who take bath in these 4 kundas in life, they will go back to Vaikuntha. So what about me? How will I get delivered? So Madhvacharya dug this pond in the house itself. And he said, I bless you that if you take bath in this pond, you will have the benefit of taking bath in all the 4 kundas. And thus you will attain Vaikuntha just by taking bath in this kunda. So this kunda is made by Madhvacharya by his own hand. And he, only for his mother's sake he made. Of course, the benefit is also extended to all of you. If you take bath with great devotion and love. See, we may take bath in this and we may not still go to Vaikuntha. Why is that? Because ultimately, the mother had a great desire to serve Vishnu in Vaikuntha. She was eager, that desire was already there. By the dint of her pure devotion to Lord Vishnu, the blessing was realized. And others may just take bath to clean their bodies, you know. Others may just take bath to clean their hair maybe, or to maybe swim. And they may not get the benefit, because ultimately the holy places are powerful enough to give the blessing to you, provided you are already tuned to the loving devotion to the Lord. Sometimes we say, now we ask many questions. Oh, we heard that if you chant once Hare Krishna with sincere heart, pure love will gush from your heart and you will go back to Godhead. I have chanted so many unlimited number of rounds. I don't feel any anartha has moved. What to speak of me moving to Goloka? One anartha has not moved out of my heart. So ultimately the sincerity is the price that we have to pray. Holy name is there. But the holy name, if we look at the holy name for getting prosperity, getting money, and getting liberation, all personal gains, you know. The holy name will not give love to you. But if you chant the holy name to please the Lord and not for any of your personal gain. Many people say, I chant Hare Krishna and still there is no promotion. Many people say, I chanted Hare Krishna for 15 years, still there is no child. I am still childless. Why should I chant anymore? Everybody has child, but I don't have child. I'll stop chanting. Somebody's young boy fell from terrace while playing kite in the sky. And then the father said, see, Krishna has stolen my son. I am chanting Hare Krishna, my son was chanting Hare Krishna, mother is chanting Hare Krishna, still my son died. So from today, I will not chant Hare Krishna. So if you have such a material understanding of the chanting of Hare Krishna, then the chanting will never give you love and devotion to God. Chanting of the holy name is not meant to achieve prosperity and knowledge and promotions and other material achievements. Chanting of Hare Krishna is meant to only please the Lord and is only meant to serve the Lord. And then only it can give you the love and bhakti for the Lord. So you go to a rich man and you say, give me two chapatis. He will give two chapatis to you. If you go say that, give me a car, then he may give a car to you. But if you really love the rich man will look after you, your family and your generations together. You don't have to ask for separately roti and separately car and separately everything. There's a story I remember. There was a king whose birthday was there one day. And he decided that on my birthday I will give gifts to everybody from sunrise to sunset. Whoever comes, I will give him whatever they want. Whatever they ask, I will give. So full day he was just gifting. People asked for land, somebody asked for cow, somebody asked for gold, somebody asked for house, somebody asked for clothing and ornaments and everything he just was giving. Every possible person came. And it was time for closing his activity at sunset time. And everybody had finished, everybody had gone. And one old lady was sitting under a tree from a little distance from where he was sitting. And he saw and he understood that she has come in the morning and she has not asked for anything. And still she is not coming. So when he finished everybody, he called her. Mother, please come. Why don't you ask something? Today is my birthday, I want to give. So he said, no, beta. I will not ask. You may not be able to give what I want. The king became more inspired. Wow, I am sitting here to give and I am a king. What is it that I cannot give you? Now he became desperate. He said, please ask. And I will see that I will give it to you, even if you think it is impossible for me to give you. So mother said, no, it's okay. It's okay, no, it doesn't matter. He became more desperate. He said, you have to tell me. So after long coaxing, then what she said, you know, she said that you become my son. I become your mother. Hey, that's all. Yeah, that's all. And she went home. But the king was serious. He's not just, no, oh, I'm your son. Fine. Mana hua brother, son. Aisa nahi. So one day he said to his prime minister, I want to go to see my mother. Now when the king has to go, the road has to be proper. There has to be nice arrangements, you know. So all the ministry, all soldiers and all the workers went. And they first made road from the king's palace to the old lady's house. And then the old lady's house was a small hut. How can you bring a king in a small hut? So they built a nice palace there. And then they sent hundreds of dasis and dasas, servants. And then they filled up the grain house. And all the house was filled with grains and everything. And then they say, oh, this is an old lady with a white sari with crimpled and stitched in between. How can she be king's mother? So they sent beautiful clothes for her. And they sent dressers to her who decorated her hair and they dressed her up and put ornaments on her. And they cooked a big feast because the king was coming. And then finally, the king came there with a big procession, you know. So what she had asked for? She asked for separately a palace, separately a ornament set, and separately a big house, separately servants, separately grains, separately all these things, and separately applied for the road sanction to the Ministry of Road Making, MSRDC. No. She just said, I love you as my son. You become my son. And in that one desire, all that is required and all that is supposed to be required, even it can be dreamt, all that was fulfilled. So wisdom is not to go to God and ask for some promotion and some good-looking wife, you know, and some child or something like that, some house or some car or some better car than what we have. You just love the Lord, that's all. Just love the Lord. When you love, it is said that the meek and the humble shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those who just say, yes, Papa. What do you have to say in life? Yes, Papa. Whatever you say, yes, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Yes, Papa, I obey you. You have to keep saying that. And when Papa goes, everything of Papa's become yours. Right? This is the secret of devotion. We just love the Lord. We become His property. Hum unka ban jate hain. Wo hume apna lete hain. And when you become His property, then His property becomes your property. All that he owns, you become the bona fide shareholder of all the property that He has. You don't have to separately ask for little useless things, you know, which are going to perish with time. All those things that you ask for from the Lord are those things which are, first of all, perishable, and second of all, you have to leave them behind and go. You ask for love and devotion. And that is why we may take bath in this kunda, we still may not go back to Vaikuntha. But definitely by taking bath in this kunda, Vasudeva's mother, Madhvacharya's mother, Vedavati, went back to Godhead. That is very important to understand. They would have gone anyways. The story tells us some message always, you know. As being the mother of Madhvacharya, she wouldn't have to do anything. She would just go by the dint of having been mother of Madhvacharya. She'll go back to Godhead. There's no question about it. You're right, perfectly right. But what we have to learn is that we come to holy places to visit here to imbibe this mood of love and devotion. Selfless mood of love and devotion, and not coming here for material gains. Many people think, bahut tirath kiya, bahut daan dharm kiya, abhi tak bachcha nahi hua. They think that we go there for this kind of things, you know, prosperity hua. Are udhar Badrinath gaya na, to ladke ko nokri lag gaya. Haan? Are udhar jaake aaya na, Dwarka gaya to ladke ko foreign mein job mila. So they feel that this is real devotion. When we have to get prosperity, that means devotion is working. But all that such things what we receive are finished when we die. We can't carry our degree, our wealth, our education, our beauty with us. We have to leave everything and start afresh. Dr. Shanbag, Dr. Samtani, Mrs. and Mr. When we take next birth, are we born as ENT surgeon again? No, we have to go to KG again. Start from KG again. You can't say, I was MBBS last time. You know, I was already practicing in Bhakti Vedanta. Should give me a job immediately. He said, no sir, go back to KG. Pass your kindergarten and pass your primary and pre-primary and then pass your SSC and then give. There may be 15-20 CETs that time. Maybe next life, who knows. Now there are also so many. So everything that you gain, you lose at the time of death. But the devotion that you earn goes with you. What you gain in this life on spiritual platform go with you because you are spirit soul. What is gained at the level of soul goes with you because you are a soul. Whatever you gain on the level of body, when you die with the body, everything remains here only. So wisdom is to always work for achieving spiritual wealth of love and devotion to God. And all that good virtue that you gain by that goes with you along with love and devotion. And ultimately that will lead you to Vaikuntha, the home of God, free from birth and death, free from anxieties. What is Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety, fear, sufferings, klesha. Vaikuntha means beyond sufferings, klesha and suffering and pain and all those things which are temporary. Vaikuntha is that place where anxieties don't exist. Death and life, birth and death don't exist. Old age, disease don't exist there. So we all belong to that place. So Madhvacharya came down to preach this philosophy. The Lord is a person. He has features. He has personality. He has characters. He has abode. He has love, devotion. He has love and affection for all of us. He's calling all of us back. Please worship that personality with love and devotion. And then He will call us back home to enjoy with Him eternally. And He will relieve us all sufferings, from all the sufferings that we are undergoing in this world. So, I congratulate you for coming here, being able to come here. All of you people, Mr. Hatiyal family and Manoj Pimla Pillai, Madhusudan Hari family, Dr. Samtani family, and Mayuri Herkal Mataji, small group, Dr. Satwarup Prabhu. But this place is a very powerful place. From this place, the very science of the personality of Godhead was preached miraculously, with a lot of miracles and a lot of unbelievable things that happened over here. For us to develop faith, for us to derive this wonderful devotion, you know, He was a very knowledgeable personality, very powerful personality, and even physically very strong. At one point of time when He was preaching against Mayavad, many Mayavadis wanted to poison Him and kill Him. They fed poison to Him. But as Bhima had digested the poison one time, He also digested the poison. Poison could not work on Him. But many times He was attempted for being poisoned and killed. Don't think that even in a powerful person's and saint's life, difficulties don't come. You know, as long as you are in the material world is filled with difficulties and dangers. So even though He was Madhvacharya, still He was attacked by people. He was attacked by dacoits. One time He was walking in the jungle to travel and preach. 15 men with instruments and with weapons attacked Him. So His disciples were all scared, you know. They all ran away and behind the bushes. And alone with one hand, He killed 15 people. And such many stories are there. That, you know, it is said that Mahu Mena Huni Asu Vaishnava Ami Katina Vajrasai Bheju Aise. That means for people who are devotees, we are like soft butter. We are like soft butter for them. But for those who are natha, that means those who are miscreants, Katina Vajra Sahi Bhedu Aise, I am hard like Vajra, thunderbolt. So a devotee like Madhvacharya is very kind to and affectionate and compassionate to the devotees of the Lord. But to the miscreants, they are hard like thunderbolt. They don't hesitate to punish. So Madhvacharya also punished all the miscreants, who demonic mentality people, by His prowess. It is said at one time He lifted a huge shila with only His thumb to scare the demons. When people attacked Him, He just to show Him, you know, show them how strong He was, He just lifted one huge shila just by thumb. And when they saw that, they ran away. So from whichever angle He could do the needful, He was doing. So His life is very miraculous. So there are very beautiful places to see in this place. One is this tamarind tree. Second is this kunda. If you go behind, there is a Subramanya Gudi, which you please go and take darshan. Subramanya Gudi is the area where the snakes are installed. Then there is the Dugdha Patra, which He has covered here. Please go there. And also go to Tulsi Vrindavan and offer your dandavats, where He learned Aksharabhyasa, Vidyarambha, Hatekadi Sanskar. Sri Madhvacharya Acharya Maharaj ki, Sri Pajaka Kshetra ki. Now, this is the place where He lived. And there is another place just next to that. There is a place He worshipped. So that is a temple, his temple, where He worshipped Lord Vishnu. You know, and this is the place where He lived. This is childhood pastime place. And that is one. Okay? So I end my discussion here. Anybody has any questions? Currency? No. Tamarind seeds. Our question is that whether tamarind seeds were considered as currency or some exchange value. Tamarind seeds were as insignificant and useless as they were now, as they are now at that time also. It just shows that Madhvacharya was a very powerful personality. You know, he wanted to relieve his father of anxiety. Other times you don't see him converting stones and pebbles into gold coins. But he saw his father was very anxious, and he was a very virtuous man. He didn't want to cheat the lender and run away from him, argue with him and not pay him. He didn't have money to pay to him. And the lender was very desperate to get the money. And he could see that if I don't do any miracle now, my father will suffer because this man will not leave the threshold. It's very inauspicious to... And father said, I also will not eat. And I will not give food to you also to eat till we pay this person the money. So it was a very difficult situation of the value actually. That's why he did this miracle. But you don't find him repeatedly taking the seeds out of the tree and giving people and making money like that. The saintly people do not perform miracles to impress people. They perform miracles when there is needed to be performed. Like Jesus Christ, you know, he was a mystic personality. He learned yoga in Himalayas. And you read that he multiplied the fish one time. And people keep giving the argument to eat fish that, see, Jesus Christ multiplied the fish and fed everybody. But what was the background? What was the time when he did that? When people were traveling and there was no food to eat and they were starving to death. It was not that they were having wonderful vegetarian feast. Lots of fruits and vegetables and grains were available, and he still, as a delicacy, as a dessert, he got the fish and he multiplied them. People were dying out of hunger. So to survive, he caught a fish and he multiplied it. No, but he was at that time in a place where only river was flowing and there was nothing. The details of the situation, if you go through, it's logical to think that, oh, where there's a river going, there must be trees, there must be fruits. But what scripture described, they were in a place where there was nothing except fish. So he caught a fish and he multiplied and fed everybody. But then you don't read that he kept on doing that in future also. He kept on calling people and having a feast of his power, multiplying the fish, and people had unlimited fish in every feast that he served. So they don't perform miracles just because they have fun to perform miracles. Because I know something, so I can keep doing that. He's not a jadugar, you know. They use their mystic powers to serve the humanity. And by which he also instilled faith in those people, because those people whom he was preaching were not very intelligent people. ऐसा कहते हैं ना, जो कम बुद्धि वाले होते ना उनको चमत्कार की जरूरत होती है, और बुद्धिमान लोगों को केवल शब्द काफ़ी होते हैं. इंटेलिजेंट मैन लर्न्स बाय वर्ड्स, अ फुलिश मैन नीड्स मिरेकल्स टू एक्सेप्ट समथिंग. सो मोहम्मद एंड जीसस, दे वर अनफॉर्चुनेटली एड्रेसिंग पीपल हु आर वेरी लोली इन वैल्यूज एंड कैरेक्टर्स. सो दे हैड टू परफॉर्म लॉट ऑफ मिरेकल्स. एंड द प्रूफ ऑफ द पीपल हुम वॉज प्रीचिंग दैट दे वर लो लेवल, the proof that both of them were threatened to life by the same people. Muhammad had to flee to Mecca. The same people who was preaching philosophy of God consciousness, they wanted to kill him because they think that he was disturbing us. Our settled life he was disturbing by new concepts. He was asking us to stop all the idol worship. But they were making any shapes and worshipping them in the desert. And the same people whom Jesus was preaching, they only conspired and put him on the cross and nailed him and killed him. We don't read that after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna came with bow and arrow and wanted to shoot Krishna. We don't hear that. And we don't hear Krishna also telling Arjuna that don't have sex with your mother, sister and daughter, which Muhammad told his followers. Because Arjuna was a very elevated student. So what he could teach him was only the highest of all philosophy. So when Arjuna was such a level of student, the words, the instructions were enough for him to elevate himself. But when you see this such kind of miracles, you know, it is just to instill faith in the faithless, not to show the prowess that I am such a great mystic, I want to impress you. The story in Maharaja's book, you know, Journey Home, that he was at the bottom of Himalayas and a lot of crowd was there. So this young Richard was walking to the crowd and he was wondering why the crowd is there. So he saw in the crowd one yogi. He had put a gauze piece on his eye. He has closed his eye, put a gauze, and had put a iron rod, steel rod, and he was, that one end was at the end of the on the eye, another end was on the wall, and he moved further. And he bent that iron rod just by power of his eye. Samjhan aapko? As a stick, one end of the wall, one on the eye, and he moved further. and he bent that into a curve. And then he removed the gauze, mopped his eyes, and eyes were a little red, and then he went to the bowl and collected money from people. So Radhanath Swami, that time Richard, asked him, why are you doing this? You know, you are such a powerful, looks like powerful mystic yogi. He said, I want to get married, so I'm collecting funds. So he was there in the Himalayas, and he was learning yoga, but yoga has got multi-purpose, you know, activities. Some of the part of yoga teaches you the mysticism, and some of the yoga teaches you how to control your senses and how to develop devotion. So the yogi is said that if he is allured by the mysticism, then he gets distracted. And if he is tempted by the powers that he is going to get in future, then he falls down and then he comes down to enjoy the material world. So he was learning yoga, but he got tempted with his powers and he developed desire to get married. Now he has already renounced everything, so how will he raise funds? So he thought, I'll use the same power only to raise funds. So there, Maharaj writes in his journey home that path of yoga is also very tempting. It gives a lot of prosperity, a lot of mysticism. And if one gets tempted by that, then he gets deviated. One has to remain fixed at the feet of the Lord. Then only you can achieve the target. Otherwise, when you become a devotee also, a great devotee, people will fall at your feet, they'll touch your feet, they'll put garland on you, they'll say, you are our Lord, and some people start calling you as God also. And you start believing in them, then you're lost. If people bow down to you and you feel you are so great, then you're lost. If you bow down to you and you say, all the dandavats that you're offering to me, I transfer it to my Guru and Krishna, then you are saved. If the east garland comes on you and you think, I'm so great, see, so many ladies have made garlands for me and they're all pouring garlands on me, I must be a great personality, then you're lost. But if you offer east garland when this is offered to you, you accept it as their love and devotion. But in your heart of your heart, accept your Guru, offer to your Guru and Krishna, then you are saved. So, the pure devotees may have a lot of powers. Even Nanadev sat on the wall and Sangdev came on, sitting on lion, you know, was showing his power. See how powerful I am. Even a lion, I have tamed him by my power, mystic power. So he came riding on the lion. Nobody rides a lion, you know. So when he came to meet Nanadev and four brothers, two brothers and two sisters, three brothers and one sister. So that time he was sitting on the wall, the brothers and sister. So the wall moved. The wall moved, you know. So people interpret as Nyandev by his mystic power made the wall to move. But the true explanation is Nyanadev did not exhibit his mysticism. Lord, to defeat that mystic yogi, Sangdev, made the wall move. It was not Nyandev who wanted to counter-impress the Sangdev. Nyandev was not on that platform. Oh, you want to show me some power? I will show my power to you. And I will show you how great I am and better than you. That was not Nyandev's mood. Nyanadev was sitting peacefully on the wall. And Lord made the wall move. And that made Sangdev become humble. And he surrendered to Nyanadev. So as devotees, we should never get tempted, allured, or attracted to mystic powers. We should simply keep our eyes fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord for loving devotion and not desire anything else. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish kamaye. Mama janmani janmani swari bhavatad bhakti rahituki tvai. I want only devotion, loving devotion to lotus feet. Birth after birth, that means what? Not even want liberation also. When I say I want devotion birth after birth, that means I am going to take birth after birth. No, I am not going to get liberated, not going to achieve moksha. I don't even want moksha because moksha also is a material achievement. It doesn't have to do anything with devotion to God. Moksha also is for your own self. My selfish achievement I want. I want moksha. I want moksha. I want moksha. But a devotee says, I don't want anything. I want only you, my Lord. I want to serve you. I don't chant because I want to become a great yogi or become a powerful speaker or a great Mahatma or people should follow me. Or I don't want to chant because people will become my disciples and, you know, follow me and worship me as God. I simply chant to please you, my Lord. That is the only goal. Even if I'm suffering, I will chant not to alleviate my suffering, but to please you. One time, King Pratap Rudra was welcoming Bengali Vaishnavas, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the incarnation of Brihaspati, was Rajguru of Pratap Rudra Raja, Rajguru of King Pratap Rudra, was sitting on the terrace, you know, and Vaishnavas were coming in Jagannath Puri, and Pratap Rudra was king of Jagannath Puri, and his job was to welcome them and host them and take care of them, and they, all the Bengali Vaishnavas were singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and Pratap Rudra was listening, and he was amazed with the kirtan that they were performing. And Pratap Rudra asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what kind of kirtan is this? I have heard as the king of Orissa thousands of kirtan like this, but I have never heard kirtan like this. As a king of Orissa, of Jagannath Puri place, I have heard unlimited kirtans from my childhood. I am born here, but I see this kirtan is unusual. What is this kirtan? So Sarvabhauma asked, this is Prem Kirtan, kirtan of love. These devotees, when they sing and dance, they don't desire wealth, they don't desire promotion, they don't desire women, they don't desire fame, they don't desire followers, they don't even desire relief from suffering also. Even when they are suffering and when they chant, they don't say half prayer for relief of my suffering and half to please you. Not like that. They don't even desire freedom from suffering. They simply sing out of love. That is why this kirtan is different. It is called as Prem Kirtan. The kirtan done only out of love. And that is what we learn. Our science of bhakti teaches us the science of love only, nothing else. And we come here, Madhvacharya gave his Guru Maharaj Guru Dakshina of love of Godhead. He didn't say, Guru Maharaj, take this 1,000 gold coins. He didn't say that. Or I will give you 1,500 cows. He gave him love of Godhead. And we all hanker for that only. That is the highest achievement. Because that achievement of love purchases the Lord. In fact, we don't love God to purchase Him, but when we love God, Lord wants to sell Himself to us. Lord becomes a sold servant. Not that disciples are desiring, "Achha hai, I will love Him and purchase Him and make Him my slave." That's not disciples or devotees' mentality. The mentality of a devotee is that I just want to serve Him and love Him in whatever capacity I have. And the Lord is hankering that if you love me, I will sell myself to you. This is the beauty of our devotional service. The bhakti path is so beautiful that Sri Krishna Akarshini, nothing in the world attracts Sri Krishna except the process of Shuddha Bhakti. Rupa Goswami describes in Upadesham Bhakti Rasamrut Sindhu that one of the qualities of Shuddha Bhakti, six qualities, last quality is Sri Krishna Akarshini. This is the only thing that attracts Sri Krishna. Rest, karma kanda, jnana kanda, siddha kanda, nothing attracts Krishna. Only Shuddha Bhakti. Selfless, purposeless, ahaituki, and apratyata. Non-stopping. Akhanda. Akhanda and apratyata. Which is not interrupted by any other thing, and which is continuous. Ahaituki, without any motivation. That is what we are taught. And that's what we beg here, at the feet of Madhvacharya. Please bestow upon us that loving devotion to Krishna. Nothing else we want. Even if you want something, I am telling you right now, I don't want that what I will want in future. I may be a foolish person. In the future, I may want something from you. Please do not fulfill my desire that time also. I give you writing now only. I may be a foolish person in future. Right now, I may be in good sense. And I may be telling you that, please, I don't want anything. And tomorrow, I may myself come to you with want of something. But please, you don't listen to my material desire. You only fulfill my spiritual desire and give me love and devotion. And even if I forget you, my Lord, in the past, please don't you forget me. You remember me and pull this rascal who will forget you in future and keep him at your lotus feet. Ek bar bol do unko. Phir wo aapko nahi bhulenge. भगवान रामचंद्र ने कहा है, जब विभीषण आए थे ना, तो भगवान के ऊपर सबको डाउट कह रहे, राक्षस के भाई को अपना रहा है भगवान, क्या है ये सब। तो श्री रामचंद्र प्रभु सेड, इवन इफ रावण कम्स नाउ आई विल एक्सेप्ट हिम, आई विल फॉरगिव हिम, आई विल नॉट टेक एन ऑफेंस बिकॉज ही स्टोल माई वाइफ। इफ ही कम्स टू टेक शेल्टर, आई विल गिव शेल्टर टू हिम ऑल्सो, एंड आई प्रॉमिस यू, आई डिक्लेयर नाउ, ही सेज, व्होएवर वंस इन लाइफ टाइम इफ दे से आई एम योर्स, आई विल ऑलवेज प्रोटेक्ट हिम थ्रूआउट इटर्निटी, नॉट इन दिस लाइफ टाइम। इस इन वन लाइफ टाइम इफ वन पर्सन सेज टू मी वंस दैट आई विल बी योर्स, ही मे फॉरगेट मी, आई विल नेवर फॉरगेट हिम, एंड आई विल ऑलवेज प्रोटेक्ट हिम, नॉट इन दिस लाइफ टाइम्स बट ऑल लाइफ टाइम्स टू कम टूगेदर, वी विल बी अंडर माई प्रोटेक्शन, दैट इज माई वर्ड आई वॉन्ट टू गिव। नाउ वी आर सो इनसिग्निफिकेंट, द लॉर्ड हैज गिवन अस प्रॉमिस, वॉट इट टेक्स फॉर यू एंड मी टू से आई एम योर्स माई लॉर्ड, नथिंग, जस्ट से सिंसियरली फ्रॉम द हार्ट, आई एम योर्स माई लॉर्ड, द लॉर्ड विल टेक केयर ऑफ यू। ओके, श्री मध्वाचार्य आचार्य महाराज की जय, श्री कृष्ण भगवान की जय। दिस प्लेस ऑल्सो इज अ कन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु एज नारायण, लॉर्ड राधा रानी योगमाया, एंड द गुरु मध्वाचार्य। पाजका इज द कन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ थ्री ग्रेट थिंग्स इन लाइफ, गुरु एंड राधा एंड कृष्ण। यस, आई सेड ना सेवरल टाइम्स, ही वॉज भीमसेन, देन बिफोर दैट वॉज हनुमान, ही इज अ सन ऑफ वायु, ही केम एज हनुमान जी, दे आर ब्रदर्स ऑल्सो, एंड दे ऑल्सो सी अल्टीमेटली दे आर वायुज अंशज, एज वायु अंश दे आर नॉन डिफरेंट फ्रॉम इच अदर, एट द सेम टाइम दे आर ऑल्सो ब्रदर्स। सो स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ इज अचिंत भेदाभेद तत्व, एट वन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम इन महाभारत हनुमान जी मेट भीमसेन, सो दे वर टू पर्सनैलिटीज, मेट भीमसेन एंड ब्लेस्ड भीमसेन, दैट आई विल रोर फॉर योर ब्रदर फ्रॉम हिज चैरियट, एंड वेन एवर यू विल रोर आई विल रोर अलॉन्ग विथ यू, लाइक दैट।
One more son, and then they get one more son. Just as Madhvacharya became such a big acharya, is there any story about the other brother also?
No, no. There is no story like that. But obviously, just because they were brother and sister of Madhvacharya, they all went back to Godhead. As per the promise of the Lord, given to Prahlad, that if you become a pure devotee, then your generation, 10 generations before you, and 10 generations after you, all 21 generations, whoever belongs to each generation, everybody gets delivered. So as he said, na ki Madhvacharya's mother did not take bath in this kunda to go back to Godhead. Even by just by being Madhvacharya's mother, she can go back to Godhead, you know. So, kuch log bolte hain ki, acha hai, aap acha devotee bano. Haan, please become a good devotee, so I can go back to Godhead. But what is the meaning of deliverance? They will be given a wonderful opportunity to go back to Godhead. But going back to Godhead, you have to go yourself. Aisa hai. All it's like a doctor's son has all the facility to become a doctor. Dawakhana already established hai, practice established hai, paisa bhi hai, admission le sakte hai, vashila bhi hai, sab kuch kar sakte hai. But still, he has to study and give the exam and pass the exam and become a doctor himself, you know. He can't be given certificate because he is son of Dr. Shanbhag. He has to do it himself. Like that, the deliverance means what Lord has promised is that all the favorable situations and freedom from previous karma will be available to that person who is related to a pure devotee. But devotion, he has to do himself. That is not freely given. Devotion is your own achievement. The environment to perform devotion can be awarded to you, that can be arranged for you, but devotion still you have to perform. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much everybody for coming to Pajaka Kshetra. Now we will take prasadam. Hare Krishna.